I feel different in a way. I feel more relieved, you know what I mean? I haven't got the pain as I did before with my old heart. With my old heart, I have a lot of pain, but I haven't got that now. But it doesn't feel like I've had a heart transplant. I don't feel no different. I just feel normal, just feel like I'm just got a hole in my stomach at the moment. Just feels like I've just come to hospital where I've cut myself open or something. Doesn't feel like I've had a heart operation or nothing like that. I don't feel like I've had a new heart or anything, but I have had a new heart at the end of the day. But it all feels the same.
Quite a surreal existence, really, just sitting there waiting for this phone call that could change your life or could kill you. But I knew about the transplant, I'd be dead anyway, so it was always a gamble worth taking in my eyes. I was very, very unwell. The year running up to my operation, I was 24-hour oxygen, I was in a wheelchair, I was about 6.5 stone. I was basically living in the hospital. I'd go home for a week, couple of weeks, and then come back into the hospital. So my existence was totally focused around my condition, how it ate away at me. My personality and my character had gone. It was just me in this hospital bed getting treated by all the nurses. I mean, I tried to keep mentally positive, which was my always thing, that my body had gone, but at least I sort of had this mental attitude that I was going to get my transplant, which sort of kept me going through the dark days.
Sorry about this. I was a very fit person until about 4 years ago. And I started coughing, went to the doctor, and he said, "You've got an incurable lung disease."
Well, I guess as with whatever environment you become familiar with, you gradually lose the acute sensations that you first get. I mean, you can be really overwhelmed with the noises, especially if you have a room in the centre of the ward. And as you know, there are loud alarm bells that clang and ring frequently, very loud, raucous buzzers for people requiring nurses coming to their rooms. Gradually that fades and you can almost not notice it. I spent the first week trying to turn the bells into flocks of Greek sheep and goats and imagine them up mountainsides, but it wasn't really very successful. And I ended up with great sympathy for Mohammed, I think, who hated bells, didn't he? That's why he has towers with imams calling off them, because bells were out of favour. I can see why.
It's very weird. You're on drugs, and nothing seems. It feels like in a dream world, in a dark dream. You're seeing things. There's a lot going on. Things don't seem to make sense. I saw images. I don't know what it was, but something on the next bed which looked like a guitar, which was nothing. I had vivid dreams of just like dark, like hell.
And literally, I woke up, and obviously, you were fairly morphined up, and I could tell that I was somewhere. I didn't know, I had a ventilator in and stuff, but I could breathe. It was quite an amazing experience, but obviously, at this point, I had no real. I was still fairly kind of. Woozy anyway, I open my eyes, and we're in intensive care, so it's white, yes, and there's this huge black guy standing over me, yes, in white. I kind of went, God? It was quite a surreal moment, to be honest with you, and then I did actually realise that I had a ventilator in my mouth, and that I couldn't actually say God.
I can't. It's awful because you think someone else has died. I just try not to think about it too much. Mm. Hi. Hello. Hi. Oh, is the doctor come?
Sorry, I
okay. No, it's okay.
We can come back in a few minutes.
Okay, thanks.
It's a lifesaver, Tully's. We class as a lifesaver. It's actually, you could call it a heart. It's just in a box. A couple of batteries keep me alive until I get a new heart. It's kept me alive for a year now. It's been 12 months tomorrow.
Actually, you'd think how could somebody live with that noise? But as you walk, it gets faster. As you sleep, it goes slower. And you get used to it after a long time. And it's just part of you now. Well, it's part of me now. So. When they actually turn it off to do your off pump and tests, I grabbed the chair and I thought, my heart's not beating anymore. But it's because I've always been a nervous patient. Seems to have a rhythm to it if you listen to it carefully. Four beats and then... seems to have a sort of... it doesn't constant, it does four beats and then changes and does... yeah, that one. Three, four. And it makes another different, it's weird. It's crazy to have it, when you see things on the TV like artificial hearts, you think, oh, never, would never have one of them. Lucky me, I've got one. Lucky for me, I've got one really. Without it, if I had this, my illness 10 years ago, I'd be dead now, because the pumps weren't available to have. So you'd be dead now.
In front of me, a blonde gift, a luxury. And then it goes, that's a sort of choir boy start with like these marriage wedding organs on the start and keyboards. And it goes, the more I see you, the more I want to be here, stretching out in the summer sun. You're blonde and gifted, you're so uplifting, bringing joy to everyone. You're bringing joy to everyone. You're bringing joy to every. You should be available on the National Health. If I had you, honey, I don't want to do it myself. You're the right prescription for my blonde addiction. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. That's it.
Yeah, heart and a double lung. Yeah, I had a full engine, as I call it. New engine. My heart went to another man. I was a domino. Because it wasn't my heart that was the problem, it was my lungs. So, Asian man had my heart, which is quite a rarity for a white person to be compatible. When I know him, we both went down to the echo, and he went in before me. And when he come out, I said to the lady, oh, how's my heart doing? And she said, what do you mean? I said, well, you've just been looking at my heart. And she said, oh, that's spooky. I found it quite funny. But it is funny to, you know, to think he's walking around my heart. And I found that quite odd.
Way back in 1984, somebody donated me a heart, and as far as I'm concerned, it's mine now, and I'll do my best to look after it, you know, and whether it, you know, where it come from, it doesn't really matter. You can't be but forever grateful to that person, but because you don't talk about it all the time, it doesn't mean to say that you don't think about it. But I think one of the biggest things that I've noticed since my transplant is that, personally, I get very much more emotional than I ever did. I'm finding the tears coming to my eyes for no reason at all, even like now. And I don't know why.
This drain here, basically it's a tube that goes into my chest, into my lung, and it kind of hooks round. And this is what keeps the air out with the bottle. And then the long tube goes onto the wall, which is the suction, constantly keeps the air being sucked out. And with the bubbles at the bottom of here, it shows that there's like an air leak still in my lung. So I feel like a spaghetti junction. And my life is plastic tubes, and, you know, I walk around the room and it's like tripping up on myself and get tangled in knots and always getting twisted and looped up, and the nurses having a little dance around.